stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. Felt like a million, felt like number one. The height of summer, I'd never felt that strong, like a rock. I was 18, didn't have a care, working for peanuts, not a dime to spare. But I was leaning solid everywhere, like a rock. My hands were steady, my eyes were clear and bright. My walk had purpose, my steps were quick and light. And I held firm to what I felt was right, like a rock. Like a rock. I was strong as I could be, like a rock. Nothing ever got to me, like a rock. I was something to see, like a rock. And I stood arrow straight, unencumbered by the weight of all these hustlers and their schemes. I stood proud, I stood tall, high above it all. I still believed in my dreams. Where'd they go? 20 years, I don't know. I sit and I wonder sometimes where they've gone. And sometimes late at night, oh, when I'm bathed in the firelight, moon comes calling a ghostly way, and I recall, like a rock, standing arrow straight, like a rock, charging from the gate. We'll be right back.
is to be and not all. A B is to be and not all.
Time is a long, 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 long time before the dawn.
Hey, hi, hello, dear listeners. Welcome back after the spring break. I hope you all are well rested and ready for the next week and for work, all in your next semester. Honestly, personally, I still need another week of laying in bed and doing nothing but homework because I missed out. Of course, I did. But yeah, really, that is exactly what I was planning to do during my break, but it didn't work out because I went to Italy instead. Another absolutely spontaneous and unplanned move that turned out to be a really good decision. I've just spent literally the most amazing week of my entire life in Rome. All in all, the impression is indescribable, simply. Even though I've been around the world and have seen places that might seem very alluring, for example, Miami or Caribbean islands, I bravely pick Italy as the number one, and I'll tell you why in a second. I fell in love with the winding little streets sandwiched in between tall old brick apartments that have garlands of just washed clothes hanging through their windows, with men wearing suits on their little mopeds and women professionally driving bikes with braided baskets while wearing latest season's Gucci high heels. The country is amazing itself. It looks like many buildings and monuments would be taken from different time periods and different cultural historical backgrounds and thrown into one small territory. The tour guides usually name Rome or refer to Rome as the historical lasagna because most of the chapels and churches you might visit will have a small door offering you a trip back in time. Thanks to many diggings that were arranged in this country, a lot of ancient, previously buried for ages buildings were found. This is a great deal and a great accomplishment, letting the world know about the previously existing cultures. For instance, the start of today's world, the Roman Empire. The Colosseum, by the way, can be easily compared to today's Beverly Hills. It was kind of a shopping center, you know, big living type of a place. It's shocking how many people don't realize how similar actually we are to those people. Our technology isn't so special after all. They had razors and spa back then either. So, even though I've already discussed do's and don'ts of traveling to Italy, I'm going to repeat this segment and make it broader, more informative, and hopefully more fun this time. And this time, I'm 100% sure that what I'm saying is absolutely true, not instructed by Google, but by my own experience. So just a reminder to you, you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Double M, and this is my show, Do's and Don'ts. So my first recommendation of today would be to actually study the history of the country before visiting it. As you may not expect, it is more interesting, uplifting, shocking, and upsetting than any fiction book I've ever read. So I can guarantee that you're not going to be bored of it. I got lucky since I've learned about some of the important historical monuments located in this country in my sacred art class just before leaving. So it was more interesting to listen about all that stuff Well, my tour guide was explaining that to me. So the city of Pompeii that was buried by ashes, the Colosseum, the Pantheon, and the Vatican Museum undoubtedly deserve a while of your precious time. Not only you may get some family relationship reconnection time after a long time away at college, if you're traveling with a family member, of course, but also you get the chance to learn history in the most interesting and catching way possible, which, even if you deny it now, will at some point serve in your life one way or another. So do take all the tours possible. You will be tempted to take a day off. I will be honest with you. This is what I wanted to do, and I'm glad my mom didn't let me to. So you will be tempted to take a day off sitting one of those precious little cafes, eating pizza and drinking coffee. But don't do it. You're not going to be disappointed. You're going to take a tour or even two a day, because there is so much, actually too much to see. You can sit in a restaurant in the evening, which is actually more fun than doing the same thing during the day, because Italians are loud people and they like to party. So pretty much every day of the week is happening. It's going on. Whenever you would go, wherever you would go, you will hear people pre-partying, so to say. So I bet that you guys, like myself, like to enjoy your coffee. Italians do too, but what they call coffee is actually a small, tiny espresso, which is really strong. I almost got a stroke when I drank it. So they drink it like Americans drink shots, standing up and really fast. So be careful ordering, because if you say, "Can I get a coffee?" you will get an espresso. And if you ask for simply a latte instead of a cafe latte, you'll get a glass of pure milk, because that is exactly what the word latte means in this country. In Italian, latte means milk. So you will get a glass of milk instead of a cafe latte, coffee. So some things might be shocking to an American. Italians don't even have Starbucks. Actually, I'm surprised it's not banned. After visiting Italy, it's hard to even imagine an Italian person standing in Starbucks. That would be something similar to seeing a flying pig. So if you order cappuccino with your lunch, an Italian waitress or waiter will frown at you. They will ask you a bajillion times, "Are you really sure you want a cappuccino with your meal?" And they might not even bring it to you. One time, me and my mom tried to offer a cappuccino, and they actually asked us to leave. They were like, "No, you can't get it. Just simply no." And weirdly enough, they don't care about money. They believe that milk is bad for you. Milk is bad for your digesting system after a big meal. You can drink cappuccino only in the morning. Of course, if you go to Italy, you will want to try some pizza or pasta, because they have the best in the world food, honestly. And I bet I'm right about that. So here's another shocker. If you will try to order a salad along with your meal, you will have to tell them to bring it together with the meal, not after it, approximately 10 times. And even then, if you do so, if they say yes, they will make you wait until you have only two slices of pizza left, and then they might bring it to you if you're lucky. Honestly, before going to Italy, I did my homework and I read about the country, about its, you know, specifics and stuff like that. But it was actually shocking even to me, because I thought that the Google was exaggerating, but actually it's not. Italians are really close to their traditions and they like to stick to it. So, you know, and they don't appreciate foreigners being foreigners. They want them to actually see their culture and live like they live. There is another interesting thing about their habits of eating. They have like a 7-dish meal. You get pasta, then you get salad, then you get a piece of meat without any potato, without any rice. And it's really interesting for a foreigner. And then after all that, you get a dessert. And if you're going to ask them to bring, as I said before, two dishes at once, it's probably not going to work. So be prepared for that. I love Italians because they are one of the most open and real people in the world. It took me some time, honestly, after coming to America to adjust to the politeness here. Because back in Europe, including many countries, my hometown of Vilnius, which is the capital of Lithuania, Hungary, which is kind of my home country too, Germany, Poland, even some parts of England, people never are nice just because they have to, just because of politeness. If they're having a bad day, they will not force themselves to talk, you know, to small talk with you and to smile and to greet everyone. Italians, for instance, will actually let their anger on you. And I'm not kidding. Here's a funny story. Me and my mom took a cab to drive us back home to the hotel, and we didn't quite know the address. All we knew was the street and the hotel name. So we take a cab, We sit in it. We tell the cab driver where to go. And he seems as if he would understood. So he takes us, but he takes the wrong turn. And me and my mom are trying to explain to him that it's the wrong turn. And, you know, that you should go around and just bring us back. He gets so angry because we don't speak Italian. He starts screaming at us like crazy and throwing money around the cab. And we're like, oh, my God, what is happening? But actually, it was kind of exotic. He didn't care that we don't understand a word in Italian. So that's some of experience. And you might say that this is just, you know, just a funny example. But actually, most of the people are like this. And, you know, not only cab drivers, because cab drivers, well, let's admit, they're grumpy in pretty much every country. I guess it's just not such a fun job. But yeah, and lastly, until I didn't forget, if you go to Italy, promise me you'll visit Florence. It is the most amazing city you could even imagine. And even though it's simply unspeakably breathtaking, I'll try to give you a blurry image of it. Imagine musicians playing live music all day long in every square you go to. Ladies wearing these fancy big hats, singing classical songs that everyone knows. And you can actually sing along. That's what people do. Teenagers resting next to a pile of Asian statues that looks like, you know, the, as I said before, thrown from different time periods into one place. And salesmen selling the best wine you've ever tried. I swear to God, it's the best wine in the world. And lemons and olives the size of your head. It's just so natural, so big, so noisy, and so, it's just so alive. So, and by the way, before I let you guys go on the music break, I remind you, the legal age in Italy is 18. So if you go there, if your parents are okay with that, of course, try limoncello, which is this strong licorice type of a drink made from lemons, which are made, well, they grow in this historical place associated with Christianity. So you should read about that and then try this. And, well, wines are good there too. And, of course, if you like going out, Italy is probably one of the best places in the world to check that out because they have... So this is what might be really weird for an American. They have their shopping centers, like small separate stores in one street. They're located in the same street and you just walk down the street. It's not like a big building. And this is the same way they have their clubs. You just go to a quarter, like a neighborhood, and the entire neighborhood is filled with clubs and they're right next to each other. Surprisingly, the sound isn't too loud somehow. I don't know. Maybe they have that protecting stuff on their walls, but it's like a village of clubs, so you can find anything you want from Latina dancing to, you know, to R&B, to house, to pops, to whatever you want in the same actual street. So Italy is something to see, but firstly, I recommend you check out the historical objects like Pompeii and Vatican and the museums. Everything is amazing, the frescoes and the paintings. It's just something breathtaking, and I can't even... I would try to explain that, but I'm pretty sure that wouldn't happen because without even showing pictures... even though they don't represent it as well as, you know, as the human eye. It's just impossible to tell you all about it as much as I would like to. So see you after the break. And next in my show, I'm going to talk about how to survive a long plane flight because flying from America to Italy is approximately 15 hours, which is not the most pleasant thing you could get, let's admit. So meet you after the break. I hope you enjoy that.
It's everybody jumpstart. It's every generation throws a hero up the pop chart. Our medicine is magical, magical is art. Think of the boy in the bubble and the baby with the baboon heart. These are the days of lasers in the jungle, lasers in the jungle somewhere. Staccato signals and constant information, a loose affiliation of millionaires, billionaires and babies. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo, the way we look to us all, oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky.
Hey y'all, welcome after the break. I'm your host Double M and this is Do's and Don'ts. So now when you're all prepared to visit Italy, let's discuss the number one struggle you'll have to face. The plane flight, which feels to last for a straight week, if not longer. So I've been flying my entire life. I practically lived on the plane. I started collecting flight stamps on my passport when I was 7 years old, since I had to visit my dad, who lives in Hungary and who's Hungarian, who has a family there, then fly back to Lithuania because I used to study there, and to see my mom, and once in a while to visit America because here is my dad's company. So other than that, my both parents are cosmopolitans. They love to travel. And whenever they travel, they would take me along. And they're divorced. So they like one, my mom would go on a vacation during winter and my dad would take two vacations during spring. And I would be always there with them. So they practically trained me to love traveling. But still, that hasn't helped me with my complete phobia of flying. I used to cry before getting on the plane. And I used to not sleep for a week before that. That was just something really enormously nerve-wracking. So I am going to share with you guys some tips that actually helped me to reduce, even though only slightly, my plane flight. So the biggest mistake I always do, and the first thing I recommend you not to do, is don't carry too much stuff on board, especially if you travel alone. The checked baggage is and their fees are inspiring travelers to carry on more and more stuff. But the choice to do so becomes your biggest nightmare, because if you try to sleep on the plane, you need some space for your feet and for your legs. I'm small, I'm 5'6", so for me it's not a big problem. But for bigger people, it's usually, you know, it's hard to sit still for 15 hours in the same position and never move. So be sure that you're not going to bring too many bags and that you're not going to have to stick it under the seat in front of you, because you're not going to sleep. And if it's a plane flight of, let's say, 15 hours, you're just going to, oh my God, that would be pure suffer. So, and some people get, because of the pressure of the air, if that's the right word to say it in English, I'm not sure. Some people get joint aches, and that is terrible. So if your knees are aching and you can't even bend them the right way to the right position, that would be deadly. So I have a good point right here. Some people like to take advantage of every creation throughout human history to make their flight more comfortable. I'm talking about earplugs, neck pillows, noise canceling headphones, and eye masks. As I said, however, I prefer not to carry around too much stuff, and that includes these things. So me, I like to use the, you know, that blanket, that light blue blanket that they give you on board, which is probably really not the best quality and probably reused a bajillion times. So I use that one, and I used to pull it over my head and sleep like that. But if you prefer to sleep with, you know, with all that equipment that I said earlier, you're welcome to do so. Anything that helps you sleep. The thing about the plane flights I hate the most is boredom. Yes, they do have those little TVs, but let's be honest, the movies they show suck and their music is minimum last season old. So this might sound, you know, I don't know, kind of too spoiled, but I prefer to bring my laptop even though I have no space to put it, and to watch my own movies and listen to my own music, because that's something distracting. And it's actually really nice because I know that I'm going to watch something that I like and I'm not going to think about the plane crashing. Or accidentally, I'm going to tell you a funny story. One time, that was actually one of the first times when I flew to America, I downloaded a movie which I didn't know what was about. So it turned out to be about a plane flight crash. So I was stuck on the plane for 10 hours and I was so bored that I actually watched it. And imagining a person who has a plane flight phobia, a complete concrete phobia, sitting in the seat and watching a movie about a plane crashing. So yeah, that that time I cried my eyes out, to be completely honest with you. Yeah, so, and you know, when you're bored on the plane, you have to, my number one activity is to eat. I'm perfectly capable of restricting myself from junk food or from eating everything that's on my plate while I'm on the ground. But when I'm on board, I just have to somehow eat everything. And I don't know where that comes from, but I just do. So talking about snacks, I actually like plain food. But while, you know, some people get sick from it and they can't digest it, and it is microwaved and it's not that healthy, so it could be a good idea to bring your own snacks. For example, some apple or carrot slices would be a healthy solution and will keep you busy chewing longer than a bagel would. If you get nauseous during the plane flight, eat ginger cookies or anything that contains ginger. It'll help you stabilize your digestive system and reduce the sickness. Be also sure to bring your own water bottle. And if you're, you know, if you drink it all, you shouldn't hesitate to ask the plane personnel, the plane staff, to refill it when you're done. Because there is no worse feeling than having your ears plugged while landing or taking off, which usually happens to everyone. So to avoid this feeling, you can bring some candy that you could chew on, or just chewing gum or something like that. But, you know, since I'm a special case, after 10 years of constant flying, I still am able to forget those things, to forget to bring the earlier mentioned things. And on board, I usually manage to get away with simply yawning, which also helps you to unplug your ears. If you have a really strong plane fright, study the statistics that are available anywhere on Google. Just type in plane flight safeness or something like that. An airplane is one of the safest ways of traveling, actually. There are far many more car accidents happening every year than there are, you know, plane crashes. And this is exactly why we hear about them on the news. And this is exactly why people make such a big deal of it, because it happens so rarely. If the fact doesn't help you itself, study the mechanism of the plane and how it works. I personally did so, and this was the thing that probably helped me the most. So this will get you understand where all the weird sounds and beeps are coming from, and you're not going to feel like you're about to get a heart attack every time you hear a slight crack. So yeah, this is exactly what helped me the most. And cover your eyes. This is the number one thing that always helps me. Whenever I feel scared, I cover my eyes with my palms or hide behind a magazine. And even though I look like a baby, it actually helps. And if you're one of those people who like communicating and making new friends, this is the best way to do so on a plane flight. Because people are always willing to help you. Especially, well, imagine you're a mid-aged man sitting like on a plane flight going on a business trip, and there is a college girl sitting next to you crying her eyes out while she's covering her head with a magazine, with a Cosmopolitan. So what would you do? You would have to say something. But yeah, this is probably not the best example. Bring your laptop, as I said, and listen to the music you like or prefer before time, and download everything you like to watch. And keep your thoughts positive. Always try not to think about, you know, about the height you're in. If you're afraid of heights, this is another common problem that, you know, frequent flyers get. And think about what is waiting for you at your destination. Maybe it's some friends. Maybe it's family members who you've missed like crazy because you're gone to college. Maybe it's some new experiences waiting for you to, you know, get in it. And, you know, maybe it's a new country. So try to always find the positive side and make the best of the plane flight. And to push time actually productively, I'm going to sound like a complete nerd now, but I actually do homework on the plane flight. I used to take all my books, all my pencils, all my notebooks, and download stuff like bibliographies and stuff like that to my computer and spend my time on the plane while reading and writing. Actually, this is exactly how I prepared and how I got the idea for today's show too. I was sitting on the plane back from Italy and I was like, oh my God, I have a show on Tuesday. I have to prepare something because I have nothing. So, and for me, because I'm foreign, I still have to actually do my research, and I usually do it every week. So, but this is my honest opinion about the plane flight. Many people would actually argue some of the things I said, and many of the people just use sleeping pills, but I don't like taking any pills, any sorts of pills. So I prefer to, you know, go to sleep on board by natural methods. That is exactly why I like to get extremely tired the day before my flight. So usually what I do is I go out or I stay at home reading or just talking to some friends on Skype, just anything except sleeping. So then it's luxurious. Believe me, the feeling when you get to sit down in the plane seat is just amazing. You forget that you're scared. You forget that you're going to be 1,000 miles up, and you just go to sleep. And even that small little chair, which is usually so uncomfortable and, you know, back-wrecking, becomes as a luxurious 5-star hotel room. So I highly recommend you to try this. And that would be pretty much enough about plane flights, because I'm getting sick from only talking about it. And I'm going to let you guys go on a break, after which I'm going to talk about another common problem that people experience nowadays, especially students, which is insomnia. So meet me after the break.
Poor boys are pilgrims with families, and we are going to Greece.
My traveling companion is 9 years old. He's the child of my first marriage. But I've reason to believe we both will be received in Graceland. She comes back to tell me she's gone. As if I didn't know that, as if I didn't know my own bed. As if I'd never noticed the way she brushed her hair from her forehead. And she said, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody sees you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. And I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. Well, I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companions are ghosts and empty sockets. I'm looking at ghosts and empties. But I reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. There is a girl in New York City who calls herself the human trampoline. Sometimes when I'm falling, flying, or tumbling in turmoil, I say, oh, so this is what she means. She means we are bouncing at the Graceland. And I see losing love is like a window in your heart. And everybody sees you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. Well, I'm going to Graceland. For reasons I cannot explain, there's some part of me wants to see Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love, every ending. Or maybe there's no obligations now. Maybe I have a reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. And I'm going to Graceland.
Matter not to me, since I lost my baby. Nothing
sorry to interrupt that wonderful song, but I know you missed me. Welcome back after the break. This is Double M, and you're listening to my show Do's and Don'ts. Currently, it's 12 hours and 33 minutes after noon in California, San Rafael. In my last two segments, I've already discussed the do's and don'ts of a trip to Italy and the struggles of a long transatlantic plane flight, which, by the way, has become a routine, sort of. So the worst part I mentioned about the plane flights is not being able to fall asleep, which leads me to my next segment about insomnia. If I was to point out the best way of torture, this would be insomnia. The annoying sound of the wall clock pushing time slower than me at a DMV office. The sweaty pillow which isn't getting even a little bit more comfortable after changing its position for the 15th time. And the nerve that makes you crack your fingers. Goddamn that anatomy midterm at 8 a.m. which is exactly in 2 hours and 7 minutes from now. I bet, with no rudiment of hesitation, that every human being, especially a student, knows exactly what I'm talking about. Since counting sheep and counting cracks in your ceiling hasn't helped from second grade, and the cocaine overdosage theory isn't a preferable solution too, I am going to share some advices of overcoming insomnia with you guys. Nothing in relation with Rebel nor counting cracks on the ceiling. So if you're one of the people suffering from this sleeping disorder, don't feel alone. According to the National Sleep Foundation, 30 to 40% of adults in the US suffer from occasional insomnia, while another 15% have trouble sleeping all the time. Unsurprisingly, this is the most common sleep complaint among Americans, who all would undoubtedly name it as a life quality downer. Sleep plays a far more important role in our lives than we could possibly imagine or than we give it credit for. It's actually directly related to our mental and physical health, productivity, and safety. Every student knows that, you know, you're more concentrated and more into the stuff you have to learn if you had an actual good night's sleep. And if you have a car and if you drive, it helps your concentration on the road as well. So while the risk of obesity, heart disease, and diabetes increases due to the lack of sleep, caffeine overdoses raises even more. And like that wouldn't be enough, adds headache and anxiety. So coffee is not the best solution to avoid sleeping. And actually, you know, it doesn't compensate your sleep. It just makes you feel better for an hour or two. And then you feel that disgusting taste in your mouth of coffee. And you feel like it's evaporating off your through your eyes and stuff. Well, you know what I'm talking about if you're a student. So, however, those who suffer from insomnia cannot get rid of it by simply turning the lights off earlier. They have to either cope with it and survive the same struggle every night, or try and fix it, and possibly eventually even get rid of it. So, as we all agree, no problem in this life is going to disappear until it and its causes will be properly addressed and analyzed. So instead of trying to survive and pushing yourself through the same struggle every other night, try finding ways to make it better. And even maybe to get rid of it eventually. Don't lose hope if a sleeping pill has no effect on you, because it's a hormonic preparate and it's bad for you and it disorders your natural chemical reactions in your body. It's difficult to explain a different language, but believe me, Google that if you don't believe me. It's just bad for you. So first of all, always, everywhere in life, in every topic possible, try finding a natural solution and a healthy solution, not the first and the most expensive one, as people usually tend, no offense. So surprisingly, there are natural, healthier, and maybe even more effective methods to ease your problem if it's insomnia, which I'm about to share with you guys. So first of all, let's try indicating the cause of it so we could actually solve it, not just, you know, ease or pain. So stress is one of the most often met reasons for insomnia. Studies, work, well, any job, social life, and personal relationships can wear anyone out during the day. And today's world, let's agree, is nothing but a net of rapidly growing innovation, turning its citizens, consciously or not, into slaves of gaining success. The luxury of a standard person's relaxation time is limited to a 5-minute coffee break after lunch, if even. If it's not holding the coffee cup while you're running to catch the bus who's about to leave. So this becomes a routine, which can consequence in finding difficulty while trying to relax before bedtime. Even while laying in bed, you can't stop yourself from thinking about the new project you got at your work or about the assignment you have to finish due in 2 weeks, but it's so big you're not sure if you're going to be able to. And, you know, it's just distracting. So in other words, shutting yourself down, sort of, is no longer something that comes to you naturally. And you actually have to give some effort to understand why is it so and how you could help yourself. The first step you should take in order to fall asleep easier is to give yourself some self-time before going to bed. Spend an hour or an hour and a half doing something you actually enjoy, something relaxing, but not related to your work or studies. You know, finish your homework earlier, somehow schedule your time if possible, and for example, light up some candles, turn on some calm music, and take a hot bubble bath with a drop of lavender oil. It relaxes you, but lavender oil does especially, and I've tried it and it works. So if you like reading, choose a book and read it while laying in bed and enjoying a cup of aromatic chamomile tea or a glass of warm milk flavored with a pinch of cinnamon. Let this become an evening ritual that you do every evening. Warm cinnamon milk is a yummy and effective insomnia home remedy, which also eases another factor that can possibly interfere with your sleep, which is digestive problems. And surprisingly, this leads me to tell you that there are many more foods that can reduce your struggle. For example, you could never guess, oatmeal. It's usually thought rather to be a breakfast food, right? We eat oatmeal for breakfast with syrup and stuff. But while one would never expect to have such effect, it actually serves as a stress reducer, for it contains carbohydrates causing serotonin release in the body, and it's like a happy hormone. So it's, you know, it's digested slower than other foods, and this is exactly why it puts your body to sleep. Be sure to check your diet before choosing a sleeping pill as a solution. This might be or become another healthy way of reducing your struggle. So it is best to eat foods containing a combination of carbs and protein, as well as those rich of calcium during the later hours of the day. So for example, let's say maybe a banana with a tablespoon of peanut butter or a cracker with some cheese, which I know for sure, would be an ideal option for a snack 30 minutes before bed. Don't eat in bed like a second before you're about to go to sleep. That's a bad idea, and it's bad for you too, because your digesting system is, your circulation in your body is slower itself, especially in the evening. So meditation is the second step to take. The most irritating feature of insomnia is the feeling of being too exhausted even to sleep. You know that feeling when you're in bed, like, you know, trying to find the right position for 3 hours, checking the clock every 5 minutes and getting annoyed that, oh my God, I have to sleep 5 hours and 15 minutes. And now, oh my God, I have 4 hours and 30 minutes. Well, I know that feeling too. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. You're so tired. You're so exhausted, but you still can't make your body to fall asleep. So a simple meditation could help release the tension that has accumulated in your body during the day. So here's what you do. You lay down whenever you feel a slight bit tired in the evening. Close your eyes and just lay there for a second. Even if it's not going to instantly put you asleep, this will serve as better rest than staring at your TV screen or hanging on Netflix for the entire night. Because the sound, you know, it's irritating, and it's somewhat, even if unconsciously, it's still affecting you as if you would be in action rather than you would be resting. So meditation stops the constant irritating thought process and helps you forget your problems for a while. Helps you forget the stuff, the bad stuff that happened during the day, the stressful stuff, if you're able to concentrate. Many people who had been struggling with insomnia for years and years have noticed significant positive changes after trying meditation. And the first attempts to starters might be a little bit hard to concentrate. So if you have this, you just YouTube a relaxing music piece or a guide voice, which they have on YouTube. Surely I've tried it and it works, believe me. So that would make it easier to concentrate. And if you've ever tried yoga, do you remember that part when you lay down on the ground after you're done with your exercises and when the instructor or trainer does the meditation, and he or she is explaining you what to do, what to imagine, where you are, for example, blah, blah, blah. You're at the beach, you're laying against a palm tree, you hear the waves hugging the shore, and, you know, it's a Caribbean beach and blah, 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 blah. So it always helps you. A disordered schedule can be another cause of insomnia, which I believe that pretty much every student has, right? Because we have classes not at the same time usually, well, at least not every day. And it's always nice to take a nap, but you should avoid taking naps during the day. I must disappoint you. Time and try to maintain a systematic schedule every day. Establish a regular time for going to bed and getting up and try to stick to it. Even on the weekends, I know it's quite impossible, but just try it. If you like to exercise, make sure you don't do so within 3 hours before bedtime. This is one of common problems I have because I do exercise, but I usually don't have enough time to do that during the day. So my only choice is to do that before bed. And apparently it's bad because when I researched it, it doesn't make, you know, it makes you more in action. This is why people actually should exercise during the earlier hours of the day, because that way you're going to be more energetic and more charged for whatever work you have to do, and the mood is going to rise too. Because in a couple of, maybe you guys remember how I talked in a couple of latest shows about how exercising is actually an antidepressant, so this is probably something in relation to today's topic too. So yes, that's pretty much it about exercising. But I think I forgot to mention yoga and something as relaxing as it, like just stretching your body if you need to crack your back or so after the long day. It's okay. You can do that before bed. So the environment in which you sleep has high importance too. You spend one third, I don't know if you heard this, but it's interesting. You spend one third of your life in your bed. Therefore, it should become a really comfortable place, like a sanctuary. Get a Tempur-Pedic mattress and make sure your sheets are made of natural and breathable linens, like cotton, for example. The bedroom should be ventilated well every day, so the room temperature in it would be cool enough to sleep. Because cool room temperature, I mentioned this in previous show too, helps you sleep. It eases the struggle while falling asleep. So if you're a messy person, as I confess I am, and tend to leave a pile of clothes on your bed after deciding what to wear every morning, make sure that it's gone by the time you go to bed. Just clean your room because it's going to be a more relaxing environment. And maybe you wouldn't realize it, but it actually helps. As, for example, it does for studying too. When I discuss studying tips and, you know, advices for better grades, I mentioned that your study area should always be clean. So before that, just clean your room before you go to sleep and before you study and before you prepare for exams. Because cleaning, by the way, can also serve as a stress reducer for many people. For most of the people, actually, well, it works for me and for a couple of my close friends. So, however, if you've already tried out these widely known methods and are about to lose hopes and, you know, and cry for another night, hold on for a second. Before depending on an actual sleeping pill, try valerian root tea. Valerian is a medical herb which surprisingly, well, my roommate hasn't heard about this. So this is weird. Maybe it's not as widely used in America as it is used in Europe. This is a completely natural substance which prevents and eases anxiety, asthma, headaches, migraine, and even stomach upset. And in addition, it serves as a cure for insomnia. And you give it to your cats too, and cats feel really happy. You know that thingy, that little pill, which is completely natural? You give it to your cat, and your cat is like rolling around and looks like it's going crazy. So this is what I'm talking about. And it actually has a different effect on human beings. It actually calms you down. It's like European Xanax, let's say, because not a lot of people use that hormonic stuff back in Europe. So this valerian thing is usually used with hoops, lemon balm, or other herbs causing drowsiness. And it's really effective. I mean, I don't take it unless I'm really in a bad struggle. But if you do, I guarantee you that it's going to work. However, you might need to wait a couple of weeks and be patient with it because your body needs to accept it. And since it's natural, you know, you have to get used to it instead of just getting the really fast shower type of an effect. So now when you're all cozy, wrapped up in blankets in a tidy, fresh room, or at least if you're imagining yourself to be there, I'm going to say good night to you or good nap to you. And for those of you who's going to stay with me, I'm going to meet you after the break. And I'm going to talk about a completely irrelevant topic for my today's show, but I believe it's relevant for each and every one of us, for different age people, from maybe 9 to 69 years old people. So be sure to tune in. See you.
Me and my buddies, we are traveling people. We like to go down a restaurant road. Spend those $0 all the way from Washington to Tokyo. But I see them in the airport lounges upon their mother's breasts. And they follow me with open eyes, they're uninvited guests. Never been lonely, never been lied to. Never had to scuffle and fear, nothing denied to. Born at the instant, the church bells chime, the whole world whispering. Born at the right time, you're born at the right time. Time.
still on the bus from the airport. There was too many holes in the crust of the earth. The planet groans every time it registers.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Welcome to my last segment. This is my show Do's and Don'ts, and I'm your host, DJ Double M. So in my three last segments, I discussed plane phobia, Italy, and tips how to visit the country, and also insomnia, which is a common problem. Now I'm going to talk about a really irrelevant thing to my previous topics, which is online safetiness. So I bet you will all agree that most of the students and the young people today don't realize how open the worldwide net actually is. Everything you put on Facebook, everything you put on Skype, or you know, you say on Skype to your friends, everything you send through your email is actually, how to explain this, hanging in a cloud above, I don't know, the planet Earth, and you know, all those details or all that data is somewhere recorded. Even if you delete it, even if it's personal, it's still recorded. So therefore, I chose to do my last short segment about this because I think it's really relevant and that it might be helpful. So never leave anything but the bare minimum as publicly available. Make sure only your accepted friends or followers can see what you're up to and what you're doing. And be sure to verify follower and friend requests just then if you actually know the person. And if you know, and I wouldn't personally, I would either make categories for them or just not accept the friends you just randomly meet, let's say at the club or while you're out like last, you know, Tuesday or whatever, because that is no one who you would want to share your really personal information with. I admire the bravery of those girls who used to upload their half-nude pictures on Facebook and expect to get attention. This is not something you want to do. And some of my friends actually started deleting their Facebooks right now, because if you have serious career plans, let's say be working in an embassy or some really serious company, or if you're studying politics or economy or whatever, you know what? People actually check your Facebook. People actually Google you. And the first thing that Google shows to them is your Facebook page. So if you don't want to impress your future employee negatively, please just clean your Facebook. And you know, one of my friends just has been taught a really difficult lesson with that. He was applying to a really prestigious university that I'm not going to name, but still, he was applying to a really prestigious university in England, and they Googled him. They saw his Facebook, which was full of pictures from parties. Like, he looked like a really over socializing person, you know, like those pictures that you don't want anyone to see, especially your parents, like, you know, with bottle of vodka and stuff like that with a bunch of people. And you know what happened? He didn't get accepted. And that was a really bad thing to happen, because he was a good student. He had hundreds from all of his exams, from all of his high school exams, which is really hard to get back in Lithuania. It's not as easy as here in America. And you know, the only reason they didn't accept him, even though he had a personal statement which was, you know, rocking a really strong recommendation from the principal of the high school, and everything was perfect, he has a 4.0, and he didn't get in only because he checked his Facebook. And actually, they said that to him, they said that he wasn't a type of a person who would be well welcomed in the university. So this can, you don't want to learn this lesson on your own, do you? So this weird thing that I found information about is that it's safer to always use HTTPS, like, you know what I'm talking about, the thingy that you put before World Wide Web, to connect to your social networking sites, because I'm not quite sure why, but it's just safer that way. So I started doing that because I read it on this random article in a magazine a couple of weeks ago. Don't accept just anyone, as I said. They can actually, even your best friends can have their accounts hacked. My mom once hacked into my account, and that wasn't fun. Verify links, attachments, downloads, emails, anything you sent, anything that has been sent to you. Because you know how you always get that small little window saying, are you sure you want to download this, because this might have a virus in it? So don't risk it, or get an antivirus system and then risk it. So investigate exactly what information any third-party add-ons, games, extensions, and etc. will be privy to. don't use that poker game really well. If the poker game asks for the access to your contact list, it's kind of weird, right? So, you know, avoid that kind of stuff because it's a really easy way to mess up. Make sure your passwords on your Gmail, Facebook, Skype accounts, and so on aren't the same, because if a person randomly will hack in your one account, and if the person will be willing to hack in your other account, the first thing he's going to try, he or she is going to try, is to use the same password. So this is a really good way of protection. Also be aware of auto-geotagging. Some services will automatically tag your status wherever you are, showing the exact place, the exact street number, and things like that. So if you happen to have a stalker you don't really know of, that might turn out to be not as fun. So make sure you share your location and the place you are at, the places you visit usually, only with those people who you actually trust. You don't want your information to, you know, be open to everyone, every person on this planet, which it kind of is, and it's not as safe as it may look or sound. And I know I might sound like a really old person talking nonsense, but believe me, it's true. I'm not going to explain why, but you do not want people hacking in your account. And this was my last today's segment. I hope you enjoyed my show. This was actually the show I actually really enjoyed talking, because usually I used to read and now it just was my honest opinion. I did prepare, but it was my honest opinion. So I really hope you liked it. And this is how I'm going to start doing my shows from now on. So see you next Tuesday, same time, same place, radio.dominican.edu. Tune in to Penguin Radio from noon to 1 a.m. See you then. Have a great week. Bye-bye.